Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Juan that April, with his sure suta, the draught of March, hath pursed to the ruta, and bothered every vein in sweet liqueur, of which virtue engendered is the floor. So if y'all are wondering what the heck I'm talking about right now, no, I'm not speaking in tongues, for those of y'all who thought that that's what that was. I'm actually not going to tell you what that was until I talk about a few other things, but I'm going to let you know exactly what that was in a little bit, and it'll all make sense, I promise. But I wanted to talk to y'all today about this word. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly this week, and the word that He spoke to me is about the new normal, if I can say it that way. That's a phrase that I think has been used all over the place lately, this new normal. And you know, the world has kind of been asking these questions surrounding the coronavirus and even surrounding the culture at large. The question of like, when are we going to get back to normal? But also, is there going to be a normal? Are things actually going to go back to normal? Or is there going to be a new normal, you know, or something like that? And I believe the Holy Spirit has spoke this word to my heart this week very clearly a couple days ago. And before I actually share that specific word, I want to read a few verses that are tied very closely to this idea. And so the first one is actually found in Mark 3, 13 through 20. And this is the parable of the sower, where you're probably familiar with this parable where Jesus tells the story of this sower going out and sowing seed onto different types of ground, and there's only one type of fertile ground that actually produces, you know, crops and grows, and Jesus is trying to get us to be that kind of ground, that kind of soil. You know, He wants God's word to be sown into our hearts, to take root, and then to produce something. Jesus wants us to produce fruit in our lives as believers. And so there's this other type of soil where the word does not produce any growth. And I want to read a phrase, and this comes from this is Mark chapter 4, and this is a phrase out of verse 19, where Jesus says, He's talking about why the word did not become fruitful, and He says, "But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word." You know, I think a lot of times we focus on, when people talk about this or preach about this verse, we focus on the deceitfulness of riches, you know, or something like that, or the worries of the world. But there's this other phrase in there where Jesus says, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. They keep it from being fruitful. So keep that in your mind. And then I'm going to jump to the parable of the dinner. And so in this parable of the dinner, this man sends out this message to all these people, inviting them to this huge feast. And so I'm gonna pick it up in Luke 14, verse 18. It says, "But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.'" And so that's the first excuse that someone comes up with. And then there's a myriad of excuses that these different people who are invited to this dinner begin to make. And Jesus is making the point, in the kingdom of God, you know, we have been invited into this, to be a part of this kingdom, to know God personally, but also to be partakers of the blessings of the kingdom, and also to be workers in the kingdom who are literally just responding to the Spirit of God working inside of us. Jesus is telling the story of these people who, the reason that they were not able to come and enjoy this feast, this kingdom feast, is because they had all these other things, these distractions, or these, you know, excuses that they had to tend to. And this ties right into where Jesus says in the parable of the sower, He says, the desires for other things enter in. And this is the word that I believe God gave me this week, is as things are getting back to normal, you know, he's speaking this very clearly to believers. Do not go back to normal in the level of your desire for God. And let me say it another way that might be easier to understand. Don't go back to needing me as little as you did before. You know, in this past season with the coronavirus pandemic, so many social issues occurring right now, people losing their jobs, things like that. It might even just be the stress and some of the trauma of the of what's been happening in our nation and in the world lately. We have all, and I think I can say this pretty confidently, either all or most believers, we've felt the need for God to a greater extent than we have before in the past. We've felt this reliance upon Him. God, I can't make it through this season without You. You know, in one way or another, some of us to a greater extent, but we've all had this, in a sense, turning to God. And I believe God is saying, don't turn away from Me when things go back to normal, or when you finally feel like, okay, I can finally breathe a sigh of relief now. When the situation returns to a place where you're okay with the way things are, don't go back to the way it was. Don't let the relationship you have with Me, with God, go back to the way it was. And another verse that ties right into this is a very harsh, this is a harsh verse to hear, I know. It's Luke 14:26. It's the same chapter as the parable of the dinner. And Jesus actually says, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. This verse is, this is what I would consider a tough love, okay? Because it's a very tough verse to hear. But Jesus is basically saying, God's desire for believers is that we would put Him first in our lives, and that He would be so important to us, that we would prioritize Him to such a great extent that in comparison, it would seem like, you know, we hate these other things in our life. He's not telling us to literally hate our loved ones. That's not what Jesus is saying. But He's making this comparison, and He's saying, if I am not first in your life, there's a problem here. And the reason I'm able to call this tough love is because every word that Jesus speaks, no matter how easy to hear or how harsh it may sound, we as believers need to filter it through the truth of the gospel. So when I read something like this, instead of getting offended by the words of Jesus and saying, Jesus, how dare you? You know, why would you say that? That doesn't make me feel good. I can look at what Jesus did for me on the cross, and I can look at the love of God that was poured out through His sacrifice, through Him allowing Himself to be murdered, crucified on my behalf. And I can say, you know what? I might not like the way this sounds, what Jesus has said here, but I know based on the love that He has shown me on the cross that this is for my good ultimately. And that if I will take the time to let the Holy Spirit speak to me about this verse and change my perspective on it, that I'm gonna start seeing it from His perspective, and it's actually gonna be a blessing in my life. And this is something that I believe is kind of a message, kind of a life message God has put on my heart, is that it's so important not to focus on truth and miss grace, but it's so important not to focus on grace and miss truth. The Bible says that Jesus, through Jesus Christ, grace and truth were revealed. Both of those things, the grace of God and the truth of God. So God has a standard, His truth, a standard for right and wrong, but He is also full of grace and mercy and compassion. And He demonstrated that to us when Jesus died on the cross. He demonstrated both the standard of God, the truth of God, and the grace of God. And this is what's so cool about the words of Jesus. You know, like when He would say things like this, I bet He offended some people in the crowds. You know, some people said, whoa, this is not the teacher I thought I was listening to. You know, I'm out of here. But other people, they stuck around and they listened, especially his disciples who were close to Him. And because they were there willing to hear not just the words that made them feel good, but also the words that were saturated with a truth that seemed harsh at first. Those people saw they saw the confirmation that this was God's Son, and the way that they saw that confirmation was through the works that He was doing. It was through the power of God being demonstrated. So this is what I believe God is saying right now through this verse, is that if you are willing to seek after the grace of God and the truth of God, if you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to make both of those things real to you, you are going to see the power of God confirm those things in your life. You're going to see God show up in a mighty way. And so this leads me back to what I started this video talking about. The words I was using were actually Old English, if it didn't make any sense to you. and this is something, incredibly enough, this is something I memorized years and years ago, probably a good 10 or 11 years ago. And it's actually the prelude To the Canterbury Tales by Chaucer. Sorry, I'm mispronouncing his name there. But this is like a very famous old piece of literature. And I've memorized it so long ago, over a decade ago, and yet it's still up here in my memory bank. And I wanna use this as an illustration to make this point that I believe the Holy Spirit has given me. And it is that, you know, God is saying, don't go back to the old way of relating to me. Don't go back to needing me less than you've needed me in this season. And what he wants us to instead do is he wants us to really lean into that relationship with him. He wants us to get more intimate with him. He wants us to seek him with our whole hearts. He wants us to make him our number one desire. And so when I was in college, I had this professor who made our class memorize this very long prelude in Old English. It was very hard to memorize because it was in words that I didn't really understand, you know, and I had to kind of memorize just the sounds. And the good thing was he gave us an entire semester to memorize it. He said, at the end of the semester, you're going to have to stand up in front of the class and you're going to have to say this entire, this very long prelude. And so I began to memorize it right away because I didn't want to get to the end of the semester, you know, and not be ready for this. So I worked on it the whole semester, and that is why I still have it, you know, in my mind today. I can still start to rattle it off right now. But there were other students in the class. Some of the other students did exactly the same thing I did. You know, they started working on it right away. And those of us in the class who had worked on it the entire semester, we got to that test day and we stood up in front of the class and it became like a second nature to us. You know, like we just started rattling it off. And it was easy. But there were other students who, when I talked to them, they actually admitted to me they had not started working on it until the very last week of the semester. And they had spent all, you know, every waking hour trying to memorize this crazy old piece of literature. And they just couldn't do it. When they got to the test time, they just, you know, kind of fumbled around, stumbled around the words. And this is the point I'm trying to make, is that God does not want us to wait to get to another crisis season to seek him with our whole hearts. He does not want us to wait to get to that place where we're forced to rely on him in order to prioritize our relationship with him. God wants us to be willing to spend so much time and energy and effort and to have this desire that's so strong to know him intimately all the time, that when those seasons come upon us, you know, when that test time shows up, we're ready to go. You know, it's like we've taken on the nature of Christ and it's a second nature to us. And in that season, we know exactly the words to say, you know, because we've been hearing those words from the Lord the whole time. And so I want to share a quick passage from Isaiah 40. I read this last night and felt like the Lord wanted me to share it. Starting in verse 3, it says, "A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." I love this so much because it's saying, go before the Lord and make a way for him. Make these paths straight. And it sounds a lot like John the Baptist said before Jesus began to minister on the earth. You know, the same way that John the Baptist came and he tried to make a way for Jesus, you know, and he told the children of Israel to repent and to come back to God. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is saying right now, is in our own personal lives, is he wants us to make a way for God in our hearts. He wants us to clear away the distractions and the other things. And he does not want us to just do this during a season of crisis. He wants us to be doing this all the time. And this is what's so amazing about this word, is this is not a judgmental word. This is not a burden that he wants to put on our shoulders. So if you're hearing that, that is not what I believe God's intent is for you. But his intent is to show you how amazing it is on the other side. That is what he wants. That is what he's been trying to get me to express. And that is found in verse 5 right here. It says, "Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed." That is what God wants to do for each and every individual believer during this season, is he wants us to get to a place where we are choosing to rely on His Spirit to such a great extent that His glory is going to be revealed to us personally. And here are two verses I believe the Lord gave me that really relate to this. It's Psalms 16:11. It says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." And then Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." So these verses just make it so clear that the place in life that we can be, where we're going to be experiencing the most joy, even the most pleasure, is in God's presence. It's in making God the most important thing in our hearts. It's in choosing intimacy with Him over anything else. Like Jesus said in the parable of the sower, the desires for other things come in and choke the word. God wants to be speaking to us as believers personally every day. He wants us to experience His presence every day. And that's not something, you know, that we have to work really hard at to get to, honestly. Jesus said, "My sheep know me and they hear my voice." That's a promise. That's not something that God is telling us, okay, if you'll work really hard, then you can begin to hear from me personally. Then you'll begin to experience my presence. No, He's saying, if you just believe me, believe the promises that I've spoken, like Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. Just delight yourself in the Lord. That's a pleasurable thing, to delight yourself in something. And then He says, He will give you the desires of your heart. God is not saying, you know, put this burden on your shoulders and work grudgingly, and then maybe you'll experience a little bit of my glory. He's saying, just whatever, we're always going to be delighting ourselves in something. He's saying, just believe me enough to take your focus and your delight off of something else and to put it on me. And He's saying, and you'll begin to experience a new level of my glory, a new revelation of my presence and my word and my goodness and even my blessings.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
And so I want to share a personal example from my own life. And the only reason I'm sharing this is because the Holy Spirit told me to. But this example is when it comes to what things I'm willing to watch, maybe movies, TV shows, or listen to songs, or even read, you know, when it comes to entertainment in my life, the things that I'm willing to digest and the things that I'm not willing to digest, I want to share with you kind of how that process works, you know. And I know that it's really funny because I've actually been judged on both sides of the spectrum. I've been judged, you know, for being willing to watch things that, you know, I quote unquote shouldn't watch, but I've also been judged for not watching things that other people are watching, you know, like. And so I want to share with you why I make that decision. And it's very simple. When I'm, you know, about to turn on a movie or watch a show or something like that, or read a book, the way that I make that decision is, number one, sometimes I'll ask God, if I have a question about something, I think, is this something I should be consuming that's gonna, you know, help me, or is this something that's gonna hurt me? Sometimes I'll ask God and He will speak to my heart personally and He'll say, yes, this is good, or maybe this is not good for you, you know. But a lot of the time, especially recently, the way I gauge that is simply, if I feel the presence of God leaving me, then I'll turn it off. I'll stop. I know, you know, that God promises, Jesus said, I will be with you always. So I'm not talking about Jesus leaving me as in He's no longer with me, but I'm talking about, if I can use this word, the manifestation of His presence. And the manifestation, that word simply means the experience of. When I'm willing to wait upon Him for a second and see, am I still experiencing God's presence here or not? You know, like, am I feeling the joy of His presence right now? Or am I not? And when I'm not, man, I just say, you know what? This thing, there's probably some really good entertainment value in here somewhere, But I want God's best for me. And I'm not saying that in a judgmental way at all. So if y'all get that, please know that's not my heart. So I am not against pleasure. I'm not against entertainment. I'm not against enjoying life at all. I believe God wants this to be an encouragement to you. And the encouragement is this, that God wants us as believers to be experiencing his presence all the time, to be able to experience the joy of the Lord all the time, to be walking in this intimate relationship with him. And I can testify to the fact that it is worth it. It's so worth it. So I'm almost done, but I do want to share a quick story with you from a time when I lived in Dallas, Texas. In that season, if you've ever read my testimony book, My Mess, if you haven't read it, you can get a free copy on my website at troyblackvideos.com, a PDF copy of it. So please go check it out. But if you have read that book, then you've heard a little bit of my story during that season where it was ups and downs. You know, I was experiencing so many great things with the Lord, but I was also going through this season of extreme isolation. And I was even facing some physical issues and a lot of emotional trauma going on. And yet in the middle of this season, I was experiencing this intimacy with the Lord I had never experienced before. And he was revealing himself to me in a way that I had never known him before. And I remember this one night where I had gotten so angry about the season I was walking through, the difficulties I was facing, about the loneliness that I was feeling, that I got in my car and I just started to drive down the highway and I was just bawling my eyes out, you know, tears just flowing down. And just crying out to God and even yelling like in my car. And I realized I might crash if I don't pull over, you know, because I can't even see where I'm going. So I pull off the highway and I pull off into this really dark little parking lot next to the road. And I'm just sitting there in the car and I'm still crying a little bit. And in that moment, I felt God's presence so strong. There was nobody sitting next to me in the passenger seat. And yet I suddenly felt as if there was a friend sitting next to me and I felt the presence of Jesus Christ. And then I heard his voice, and it wasn't an audible voice. It was in my heart, but it was very loud, very clear. And what he said to me was this. He said, "Hey, what's that over there?" And the way he said it was the way that a friend would say it. If you were like on a trip together, you know, driving and they saw something interesting. And so I'm looking down and I look up. And I look across the highway, and it's very dark on the other side. There's not very many street lights. And I see this big old building, and I just say out loud, you know, "I don't know what that is," you know, but I knew based on what Jesus had just said, I knew he wanted me to go over there. And so I start the car up. I drive across this bridge. I go over there, and I'm driving around this huge parking lot, and it's a massive old building. It looks like a big warehouse or factory or something, and I cannot figure out what this thing is. All the lights are turned off and I'm driving around a long time. And I'm like, well, maybe it's nothing, you know? And as I'm driving out of the parking lot, I see a big brick sign at the entrance that I had missed. And it was actually a church. And later I found out it was a old Johnson & Johnson factory that had been turned into a church, like a big church. And so I'm looking at the sign and I go, wow, this is a church. And then I realized, I think God wants me to go to church here tomorrow morning. And it was actually late Saturday night. And so I figured out when the service times were. I left, I went home, went to bed, got up in the morning, and I drove back to this old factory building, you know, and I went to one of their services. And I'm thinking, the whole time I'm thinking, God, Jesus would not have said, "What's that over there?" you know, and gotten my attention and had me come over here and look at this thing if he did not want me to be here this morning, you know. And I was thinking, something, God is going to intervene. Something's going to happen today, like at this service. And so it was a really good worship service. You know, they had praise and worship, and then they had teaching. And then I actually get up to leave because I don't know anybody there, you know, and I'm actually walking down this large lobby hall, and I'm opening the door to walk out of the church, and I'm having this thought, you know, and the thought was, well, I must have missed God on this, you know, like, maybe this wasn't from God. He didn't want me to be here because nothing happened, you know? Like, that's what I was thinking. And as I'm opening this door, I hear somebody yell my name. And I turned around and I saw one of my second cousins actually walking up to me. And I was kind of like awestruck for a second. And I walked up to her. I started to talk to her and found out that her and her family, they actually went to church there. And I was thinking, like, man, I didn't even know y'all lived in this city. You know, like, I didn't even know y'all lived here. She had actually seen me during the service, like sitting in the audience. And so long story short, they invited me over for Sunday lunch. I went over there, had lunch with them, had a really good talk with them. We played some board games, which is like my favorite thing in the world. And I hung out over there for several hours that afternoon. And then I left. And as I got in my car, I sat down in my car and I had this feeling that I hadn't felt for a long time. And it was just the feeling of feeling like I was a real person again. You know, feeling like there's somebody in my life that cared about me. You know, I realized in that moment that that all of that had happened because of what Jesus had said to me, you know, when I sat in the car by myself the night before. And I knew that even in my one of the darkest seasons in my life up to this point, you know, that I've walked through, God wanted to be there for me in an intimate, personal way. And I got to see some really amazing things in that season, not just that story, but there are a lot of other stories that came out of that year. So I really hope that was an encouraging story. I really hope this video has been enjoyable. I really encourage you to go sometime today or soon to go read the whole chapter of Isaiah 40. Because in this chapter, it talks about the greatness of God and especially how much greater God is than every other thing in life. Any other thing that tries to draw our affection or our attention, you know, those things aren't bad. But when we are prioritizing other things and when we're seeking other things over God, then we are going to miss out on the intimacy God wants with us. We're going to miss out on the glory of God he wants to reveal to us. We're going to miss out on the presence of God to the extent that God wants to give it to us, to the extent that he wants to reveal himself to us. So I really hope that y'all are encouraged by this video. I really hope it was a little bit challenging, but also that you're able to receive this in a gracious way. I love y'all so much, and I'll see you next time.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.